Well, look, it's a Tuesday night, and this is Murray Wilson on TUE network stations right through to midnight tonight. I think if you're a parent, you would know the meaning of the word bully. But it seems that it's becoming more and more apparent that bullying is not just reserved for the school playground. It also occurs in the workplace. And I have to say to you, I've witnessed it, I've experienced it, and I've seen the people that bully other workers, and it's not pleasant. Well, the federal government have finally stepped in. They said that they want to stamp out workplace bullying by speeding up intervention by the industrial watchdog. The Workplace Relations Minister, Bill Shorten, announced today that the government's response to a parliamentary inquiry into workplace bullying. Now, these include a variety of things, but one of them is adopting a national definition of workplace bullying and a national training standard. One of the things and one of the changes is that workers who claim they are being bullied will be able to have the matter listed with the Fair Work Commission within about 2 weeks of making a complaint. So who are these people that bully other workers? Why are some people targeted and others aren't? One lady that is no stranger to this program is Leanne Faraday-Brash. She is an organisational psychologist, author, and also founder of Brash Consulting. And we're happy to say that she joins us back on the program. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Murray. Good to be here.
It used to be just reserved for the school playground, didn't it? But obviously that's not the case.
Well, it's not the case, and unfortunately there's probably always been bullying in organisations, but now the parents are catching up with the kids, and while it's on children's lips from the ages of about two or three, now it's on the lips of everybody at work because they can finally put a label to the awful behaviour that they've been experiencing and the stuff that creates a lot of toxicity, a lot of dysfunction, a lot of stress and of course, workplace injury for people at work.
I've often confronted people that have bullied other people in situations, and I said, listen, you shouldn't do this. I mean, you're coming across as a bully. And they'll say, I'm not a bully. Look, I might be a little bit bossy and I might be a little bit demanding. There is a big difference, isn't there?
There is an important difference. I guess the difference is not necessarily in the way it's received by the person getting the attention. I mean, I've often said that bullying and bad behaviour in a six-sort of way is like beauty. It's in the eye of the beholder. So definitely all of the legal definitions, state and federal, really define bullying as something that creates a risk to health and safety for the person who receives it. And the boss who actually thinks they're just being bossy, pun intended, may actually be somewhat threatening or menacing to the individual who says they're being bullied. On the other hand, of course, it's a wonderful catch cry to set managers back on their heels when someone doesn't like the fact that someone's asking them to perform and do a reasonable day's work for a reasonable day's pay. So, you know, to say I'm being bullied, back off, can be quite tactical. Having said that, I've worked with an awful lot of people and investigated an awful lot of issues where people are really, really suffering. And it can be individual suffering at the hand of one other person at work, or it could be a culture where the way of doing things around here is to drive our people really hard. And if they're insecure for their jobs or they want to be promoted or recognised, they have to respond to behaviour that you and I would just say is unacceptable.
Give me a photograph of a typical bully. And I'm not saying one that a worker just says, you know, you're a bully because you want me to work harder, but somebody that is a bully, what type of person are they? What's going on in their mind? What type of, you know, what's happened to them in life to make them the way they are?
Well, there's probably a number of things that have contributed to it. I mean, in some cases, bullies, like domestic violence, a lot of people who actually perpetrate violence in their own families had that done to them. So some bullies have had really poor role models from other people around them. And when that person wants to get their way, they actually resort to something that's just overzealous and either verbally abusive or physically abusive. And some of those young children who are bullied in the playground grow up and become big bullies and don't necessarily pull their heads in once they get into the workforce. So they're still, if you like, children in adult bodies who either bully for sport or bully because they just want to get their way. And by asserting power in that way, they're more likely to get what they want and less likely to get what they don't want.
Do they know that they're a bully?
Not everyone has an extraordinary amount of insight. I mean, some people are very self-aware and just choose not to do anything about it. Other people really don't know the way they come across. I can think of one gentleman who I actually developed quite a fondness for a number of years ago in manufacturing, who I was asked to coach because he was getting on the wrong side of a number of people at work. And I saw a really soft and sensitive side of him when I was coaching him behind closed doors. But he was about 6'10". He was about 6'10" wide, And he did have a problem with anger and a short fuse. And by golly, you wouldn't have wanted to meet him down a dark alley if he really did have something up his nose, because he was a bit of a scary dude. But he was also a very loving father and could be very tender at home. But if something he didn't like at work, he had smoke coming out of his ears. And when he was confronted with that, he really found it hard to understand, because he wasn't thinking that he was going to king hit anybody.
Yeah.
But it was just his physical presence, his strength, his big, booming, resonant voice. He was sort of the last one to realise that he was a bit intimidating up close. Some of them just know that they're doing that, and they're playing on that. It's highly tactical. They want to get their way, and or it's sport for them. I've seen a bit of that happen on night shift, where people are doing pretty mundane, routine, repetitive jobs, and they need something to just jazz the job up and make the time go by more quickly. But most people bully unwittingly. They're not bad people. They just don't necessarily have the skills to get their message across, or they try to be assertive to start with, and then when someone pushes back or says no, they default to something that probably feels more like bullying.
Okay. I'm just wondering, are there different degrees of bullies? And the reason I ask you that is in this industry, we've come across them, and I've actually tackled a couple of them. And, you know, you shake like a leaf when you do it, but I've often found that they back down at 1,000 miles an hour. And, I mean, that's a risk in doing that, but I wonder, is it because other people are too frightened to actually tackle them, and that's the last thing on their mind is to go back at them twice as hard as what they come at you?
Yes, well, some of these people continue doing what they're doing because they haven't actually been called on it. And if we work on the basis that most people don't want to bully and don't want to terrorise anybody, at the point at which some brave soul, and in this case it might have been you, through your career, held up a mirror and said, look, I don't actually think this is acceptable. I think you're being intimidating. Can you just back off? The decent person who is bullying goes, whoa, I didn't realise I was having that impact. Yeah, gee whiz, I'd better pull my head in. But if it's not called, and if they find they're getting what they want, they're getting people to work harder and work faster, and you know, it's part of the fabric of the world you work in, that there are tight deadlines and there are high demands and there is high stress, and some people just use that as a 007 licence to kill. And that becomes the norm working in that industry, and that's what you hear people saying. It just goes with the territory, Leanne. You've got to understand the sort of workplace we are. We couldn't do the job we did if we weren't working in that really hard cut and thrust environment. And we just expect people to be able to keep up. They need to be resilient to work here. But hey, what an industry.
Oh, that's a story for another day. When I think of a bully, automatically in my mind, I've got a male. Is that fair to say that?
Absolutely not. I mean, the archetypal bully in the playground would have been sort of the Pugsley and the kid that was a bit ungainly and not very attractive and a bit unco, but not necessarily. Bullies can be suave, sophisticated and charming. They can be male and female.
Yes.
Males are more likely, and this is quite well documented, males are more likely to bully in a way that is physically intimidating and direct.
Yes.
So I'll tell you exactly how I think, and you'd better put up with it.
And but women, they just talk about you behind your back, do they?
Can be more indirect.
and can
be more passive-aggressive if we are stereotyping. But I've seen some women who wear hell on heels because they're full-on scary dudes.
Yeah.
And I've seen some guys and I've seen some fellas in pretty rugged environments who will tell everybody other than the person they really need to be having the conversation with what they think about that person. And, of course, that ups the ante, because once the other person gets wind of it, they say, you've actually humiliated me to everybody else, and why don't you have the guts? I've cleaned that up. I could use another part of the anatomy, but why don't you have the guts to actually tell me if you've got a problem with me? So there will always be exceptions to the rule. But, yes, just like kids in the playground, girls tend to have a slightly different way of communicating their displeasure, and it might be more subtle, it might be more non-verbal, whereas for men it might be more physical presence and more direct.
Okay, now you've seen this from both sides. I'm just wondering, from what you've loosely seen in regards to these changes, the Fair Work Act, that a worker who claims that they're being bullied, they'll be able to do that and have the matter listed within 14 days of making a complaint. I wonder whether or not that's going to stop bullying in the workplace. The reason I ask you that question is because I think a lot of people that are being bullied would be quite fearful of making it known publicly, and then there would be that threat that they may lose their job.
Yes, that's a very valid point, and I've got to be really honest and say that I'm somewhat ambivalent about it.
Yeah.
I can see real pluses and minuses. On one hand, I absolutely applaud the government for taking action. They have not only a moral imperative to do something about that, particularly Labor government, particularly Bill Shorten pioneering this, you know, workplace relations and the union is his lifeblood. It not only is it a moral imperative, but it's also good dollars and cents. That parliamentary inquiry estimated that bullying cost the Australian workplace in lost productivity and workplace injuries somewhere in the order of $10 to $36 billion a year.
Good God.
So something needs to be done about it. And to have a federal complaint mechanism to give people the opportunity for right of redress within a very short period of time so that they're not stewing and stressing over it for months or years, as can be the case with a sexual harassment complaint in an anti-discrimination jurisdiction, is a terrific thing. The other thing that's great about it is, in the past, if someone alleged they were bullied in their workplace, the safe workplace agencies would come in and make an assessment of the workplace and warn or punish the workplace, but there wasn't actually a right of redress for the individual worker. So now what they're saying is, if an individual worker puts in a complaint, has that complaint heard, and the determination goes for the worker, then there might be damages in the order of anything up to $33,000. So the worker actually gets some form of compensation for the physical or psychological injury, which was denied them until now.
Yeah.
But administratively, it will be a nightmare.
It will.
I think organisations, for fear of having complaints lodged in an external agency and getting a bad rep with Fair Work Australia and the general public, will be more likely to jump to investigation rather than, say, mediation in the workplace. And they'll often bring in external lawyers to do that, so that will drive up costs. The other thing is that if you're still in an organisation and with the economy being what it is and job insecurity being as high as it is, there will still be people who might be treated very badly, believe they have a case, but as you said, won't complain.
Correct.
And the other thing I'm fearful of is that managers will become so toe-y about trying to manage someone else's performance for fear of being told that they're bullying somebody, that performance might really drop and the whole level of accountability in the workplace will decline.
Yeah, greatest intentions by Bill Shorten, no doubt about it, but it's all good in theory. Whether or not it's going to work in practice is another story.
Yeah, if they really give it some time and they resource it properly, just the fact that people will be able to seek redress outside might mean that organisations do what I think they need to do more of, and that's not to invest in investigations and not to invest in legal fees and covering bottoms, but really invest in the quality of leadership development and spend the money proactively to enhance people's ability to communicate with each other respectfully at work.
Good on you. Great to talk to you. Always makes common sense, and hopefully we can talk again.
Okay, no worries, Murray.
Thanks for your time. Leanne Faraday-Brash joining us on the line.